The gospel is found in Luke chapter 2. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. And the favor of God was upon him. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. So, Nunc Dimittis, that's the title of this song. It's actually the title of this message, and many of you may be wondering, what in the world is Nunc Dimittis, or what do those words mean? Some of you, on the other hand, may actually see these words as nostalgic, reminding you of certain parts of the liturgy, maybe, the old liturgy that maybe you used to sing. As a matter of fact, this is what the Nunc Dimittis is. It's a song. It is Simeon's song that we just read. So, what does Nunc Dimittis mean? So, my boys here, Jake and Dane, they took Latin in high school. Do you know what it means? A lot of pressure, man. Now. Okay, so nunc means now. This is very good. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. But Nunc Dimittis means now you dismiss, which is the first two words of the Latin translation of this song. Now, this is not the only song that's named in this way. What I want you to do is I want you to open up your hymnals. Turn to 199, page 199. Okay, 199. Okay, so you guys got it? 199. You can see there that what is listed in the very middle of the page, it says Nunc Dimittis, and it says Song of Simeon. So it doesn't really mean Song of Simeon, it just means now you dismiss. Now you dismiss, the first two Latin words. Now, there are many other songs in our liturgy that are like this, right? Like the Gloria, which is glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Okay, this kind of thing. And there are things like the Benedictus or the Magnificat, Okay, most of these are named for the two or first word in Latin. And why is that? That's because Latin was the language of Christianity for hundreds of years, right? Starting way back in Roman times and going all the way through to now, as a matter of fact. Still, in most Catholic church, you have an opportunity to have services in Latin. So this is a famous song, a song that actually is a hit song for over 2,000 years. That's pretty amazing, right? Sung by millions of people over the years. So it's a pretty cool song, but it's not the only song that Luke records for us. And keep it open to page 199 for now. Luke also records three other songs before he gets to the Nunc Dimittis. If you go back just a little ways, okay? The very first song that Luke records, not from 199, I'm sorry. I'm going to go back in the Bible here. If you want to follow, I'm actually in Luke chapter 1 now. Okay, and Mary, you may recall that Mary, when she was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit, went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, okay? And Elizabeth was also pregnant, miraculously, because she was beyond childbearing years, with John the Baptist, okay? So John the Baptist is in the womb of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth exclaims to Mary, "You are the mother of my Lord, my God." And Mary thinks this is just an amazing thing because the angel said that was going to happen too. So here, Elizabeth confirms that the baby inside of Mary is the Lord, is the Savior that God promised. And then Mary breaks out in song. Mary breaks out in song. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Magnifies. That's the first word in Latin. What is it? Magnificat. Okay. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed." You probably recognize those words, right? Because we've sung them before. So the next song that Luke records is actually the Benedictus. This is the song that Zechariah first sung over 2,000 years ago. Okay? And who is Zacharias? Zacharias is the father of John the Baptist. Okay? So the father of John the Baptist, what happens when the angel tells him, "You and your wife are going to have a child"? He laughs. He's thinking, "We're way beyond childbearing years. No way." Okay? And the angel says to him, "Well, tough luck for you then, because I'm going to show you a sign. You're not going to be able to speak until that child is born, and you're going to name him John." Okay, not a family name, but you're going to name him John. And so Zechariah, who's a priest, okay, he can't even do his job. He can't speak for this whole time. But just after the baby is born and he's brought to the temple to be named, he says, he writes down, because he can't speak, "His name is John." And right after he does this, okay, he gets his voice back. And what does he do? Because he's been thinking about what to say for a long time, right? He says the Benedictus. Okay, this is what he says. "Blessed, Benedictus, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Both of these songs, like the children's message, are talking about a promise that is fulfilled, right? A promise that is fulfilled. Promises of the Old Testament that are fulfilled because of John the Baptist coming and because of Jesus coming, okay? And then, of course, Jesus is born. And the next song that Luke records for us is the song of the angels that they sang to the shepherds in the fields. And what is that? What did they sing? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men, on whom his favor rests." Right? That's what they sang. What is the Latin word then? Gloria, Gloria. And that's why we have it in our hymnals as the Gloria. Kind of interesting. So, how many of you remember singing the Nunc Dimittis? You do? You do? Do you remember what tune you used? So if you're on page 199, this is the tune that I remembered, okay? Because I sang it out of the old red hymnal, if you're familiar with the old red hymnal. Anyways, it went something like this. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. That's what I remember, that song. And it's easy to memorize when you have a tune to go along with it, right? So how did this song come about? Actually, it was because Jesus' parents were faithful Jews. They did exactly what was required of them in the law, and they brought this child for his circumcision, but also for his blessing, and they also brought the required sacrifice, right? We read about this, right? A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, right? So this is what they were supposed to do. But they run into Simeon, who does something amazing, right? Because he doesn't just bless the child, doesn't just have a circumcision, but he takes the child into his arms and sings this song. He has this baby Jesus that he's touching and feeling, 8 days old, 8 days old baby. And somehow he knows that this is the Savior of the world. So how did he know that? So I want to go back a little bit. Let's read through the text a little bit and see if you can catch how he knows. Okay, now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. Okay, did you catch it? Maybe I didn't emphasize it enough. The Holy Spirit revealed it to him directly on that day. So the Holy Spirit was leading him in his life, and the Holy Spirit is also the one that told him, that very child who you are holding in your hands, even though he looks helpless, he's the actual Savior of the world. And then he sang this song that we also sang today. It starts out with the word Lord. Okay, I want to go through the song piece by piece now. Okay, so I want to go through the song piece by piece. And the very first word of this song is Lord in the English translation. The Greek word that's actually used there is despota, despota. And it's the same word from which we get the word despot. Okay, that does not sound very good. That's kind of a negative connotation. But it is the exact Greek word that is also used for describing the Most High supreme name of God, Yahweh, in the Old Testament. Okay, so the very first thing that you should be thinking when you see this song is this is not just Lord, this is Holy Lord, or Mighty Lord, or Sovereign Lord. And what do you know about the Sovereign Lord, the Mighty Lord, the Holy Lord, and how he relates to his people, especially in the Old Testament? He laid down the law, right? That's what he gave them. And as a matter of fact, he is so perfect and righteous and holy that he cannot stand to be around anyone who's not. This makes me, at least, first think of my sin. Because even the smallest white lie or the little bit of gossip I participated in, that separates me from the Sovereign Lord. And even more than this, the willful, purposeful sins that we commit. Sometimes we're selfish, prideful, Sometimes we lust, sometimes we gossip. And maybe I didn't name the one that you struggle with, but you know what it is. Those things that you're embarrassed of, ashamed of, or those things that you keep doing even though you don't really want to do it. These are the things that Sovereign Lord makes me think about. Now, the good news is I'm not going to stay there very long because the song doesn't. The song immediately says, okay, Sovereign Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace. Okay, and what does it mean to dismiss your servant in peace? Dismiss. And he says in peace. Okay, so it's not that I'm warring with God anymore. I don't have this problem between me and God anymore. I'm at peace with God. What does he mean by let your servant depart in peace? Do we know? Yeah, because in the earlier part of the text, in verse 26, it says he was told he wasn't going to die until he saw the Lord's Christ. So, what is he saying? He's saying, now, I can die in peace. I'm ready to meet my Maker. Now, that is true peace. A peace that passes understanding, because all these things that haunt us, all these things that we're struggling with, are forgiven. We're at peace now because of the little child that he held in his hands. Now, I sometimes wish I had been Simeon, because it would be pretty cool to hold the baby Jesus in my arms and to actually see Jesus. But don't you think we can see Jesus in other ways? As a matter of fact, you already have seen and or heard more about Jesus than Simeon. Because the whole story of what Jesus did after this event is recorded for us in his word. All that Jesus did, living a perfect life, all the miracles he did, his going to the cross for us, his rising from the dead. We know all of this about Jesus. We see more about Jesus and how God saves us than Simeon did. Not only that, in communion, right? We didn't get to touch and feel and hold the baby and smell the baby, but we got to touch and feel and taste the bread and the wine, Jesus' very body and blood. You see, God meets us with his very presence in the sacrament. He also meets us, I think, most directly through other people. Because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in all of those who believe, and when we're down, when we're out, when we need a hand, sometimes we see Jesus most directly in a person who reaches out to help us. A person who shares the love of God with us when we need it the most. So, yeah, I don't get to see Jesus the same way that Simeon did, but in many senses, I see Jesus even better than Simeon did. And when you see Jesus, you can't help but call him who he is, because he is in the next part of the song. Okay, next part of the song, what does it say? For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which you have prepared in the face of all peoples. So the salvation of God appeared in this human baby Jesus that Simeon was holding. And it's a salvation that's not just for the Israelites. I mean, he came from Israel, but what does it say? It says that it's for all peoples. All peoples. And not only that, he emphasizes it with what goes thereafter. What comes after that? A light to lighten the Gentiles, right? So sometimes when you think about God in that Old Testament and you think about him chosen people and I'm, you know, favoring Israel, and he did favor Israel. He protected Israel through all these things. He also had them sent into captivity and captured and conquered and all these things, okay? But when they were bad, right? When they did evil in the sight of the Lord. But he also was seeking this entire time to also save Gentiles, right? It's not that he was just trying to, he was here to save the whole world. It's proven by a whole bunch of things that he says in the Bible, okay? But it's also proven in what actually happened in the course of history. As a matter of fact, people who are Gentiles, not from the tribe of Israel, not from the race or ethnicity of the Jews, that are saved in the Old Testament. Many examples. There's even examples of Gentiles who become part of Jesus' own lineage. Do you know who I'm talking about? Rahab the prostitute, who was in the city of Jericho, okay? She ends up becoming a believer and becomes the great, 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 many times over great grandmother of Jesus. You see, God didn't just come to save Israelites. He sent his son to save the entire world. And as a matter of fact, Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient to cover the sins for all people throughout all of history. Just think about that. All people throughout all of history, and even into the future, are forgiven because of what Jesus has done for us. This is an amazing song that tells us exactly what God did through that little baby that Simeon saw. Now, I want to spend the last part of this just thinking about this from Jesus' perspective. Now, maybe he wasn't thinking too much at that time, but it's just awesome for me to think about what was actually going on at that moment. Here is the creator of the universe, the God who made and sustains everything, who humbled himself so completely that he's dependent on his mom to clean him, to feed him, to change his diapers. He's dependent on his mom and dad to take him to the temple to do this. And he's subjecting his own body to circumcision. I can't believe how much he must have loved us to do this. Humbling himself to becoming completely helpless when he started out as the creator and sustainer of the universe. And he does this, okay, for you and for me. When Simeon saw the baby, did he do anything to be at peace with God? Did he do anything? He did praise God, but he says, now I'm ready to meet my maker. Now I am at peace with God. He just saw the baby, and it was so. And it's the same way with you and me. We only need to hear what God has done for us, and we know it is so, and all our sins are forgiven. We just need to take God at his word. All of those things that we thought about earlier, they are wiped out. You hear that? Jesus humbled himself to become this little baby, but he humbled himself even further to take that to the cross. And on the cross, he bore the sins of the whole world. All of your sins are forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. And all you need to do is say, okay, God, I'll take you at your word. They're all forgiven because of what that little baby eventually did on the cross. And he rose again from the dead to make you another promise. And remember, these promises are always fulfilled, that you will be in heaven because you trust Jesus to save you. Amen. The same Jesus that the Simeon sang about, he's the one who saves us. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.